The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Whoa, we're jumping right in. Ooh, look at that. Doing some production value.
That, you know what's, I legit thought to myself how there's this, like, whenever there's a, somebody's like, we're having a drink, and then you hear the crack and the pour, like this, the soundbite crack and pour. I'm like, yeah. I'm never going to do that dumb shit.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But that's, you're drinking a Coors Original.
My favorite beer.
Well, that's okay. That's why we decided to start. I don't like the taste of anything that is alcoholic.
See, that is shocking to me because you're such a drunk.
I know. No, okay. And that should be proof. That should be the proof that, oh, man, I'm an alcoholic. I really just want the result.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would drink a beer even if it didn't have any alcohol in it, sometimes, like with Mexican food or barbecue, give me a
go through the list of food you'd drink beer with, Dave.
Well,
and then that'll be the whole
trying
podcast.
To keep it to an hour here.
Yeah, that'll right. be the whole podcast. Yeah. I can't drink beer at all with food.
Really? See, I can't drink liquor with food.
I think it makes me full.
Hmm.
Like I don't drink. I guess I never looked at my patterns. I'll eat food without ever. I won't drink during a meal. I might take a sip of water to get stuff down, but I won't drink anything while I'm eating.
I think technically you're not supposed to. I think they've done some studies that you're not supposed to drink a lot of liquid while you're digesting.
I want that food. Yeah, give me that food.
Yeah,
but I love. Like margaritas and shit.
Yeah.
Like I like them girly drinks.
Mm-hmm. My only problem, I love margaritas too, but
coladas.
They're so sweet that if I have more than one, then occasionally then I'll get the little mini cavity, little nerve. Where
yeah,
it's like,
you gotta get a good. You gotta get a good one where they're not just throwing a bunch of the mix at you.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'll drink beer. It's not like I'm put off by it. Mm-hmm. But you're the one saying if beer didn't even have alcohol in it. You would just drink it.
I mean, I wouldn't just drink it all the time, but like I enjoy the taste of it with a meal or something like that.
I drink unsweetened iced tea. And see, all right, that's the Southerner.
What's the
in you.
Point? What's the point that, of unsweetened iced tea?
I like the bitterness of unsweetened iced tea.
Ugh. Get out of my face.
All right. Well, it's a weird start.
You going back to the liquor? You've been on a mezcal and or tequila kick lately. You've been I see you ordering a lot of those.
Man, okay. The gout thing happened, and they're like, "Oh yeah, because you just drink so much beer." So don't let. How about that for dedication? I don't even like the taste, but I still got fucking gout because how much beer I drink.
What are the odds out of the two of us? You're the one that got gout.
You probably have it.
Out of sight, out
like
of mind.
Everybody's got it. I just the one who went to the. It's like herpes. A lot of people are just going, "Ah, I just got the dick measles." Like, no, you got. Everybody's got it. I'm just the one who went to the doctor. I don't have herpes, but the gout is like. That was a joke. I don't have even the joke make that made the new special, but it was. About how, like, at least herpes, you got to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least you did something fun. Like, I just had too many light beers.
What are the symptoms of the gout?
Your toe hurts.
That's it?
I mean, more stuff will happen, but that's, like, the indicator. Is there one big toe? I don't know why one.
Just
one
of them?
Just one of your big toes will be like, well, that hurts a whole bunch. And it's the gout.
And are you on medication for it?
I took medicine, and then it went away, and I talked to the doctor, and she's like, nah, if it's not acting up, you're cool.
When you first got that, you were telling me that the doctors told you essentially anything that you would eat at a barbecue, you can't have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That was part of the joke, yeah.
So that's
you just
a bummer.
Have to cut out beer and any food you might have at a barbecue.
Oh, jeez, I might as well
all
just...
I heard was, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But the, to go back to that mezcal and tequila thing, I was drinking those a lot, and then I was having it was like I did coke. Like my heart would just race at 3 in the morning. Like have you ever had your heart beat so hard in bed? Like imagine like in bed, quiet. You're on your pillows. You're on all your soft stuff. But there's enough movement happening that you think it's an earthquake. That's the kind of heartbeat I would have from Jeez. Too much tequila. I'd have to look at what like a hanging lamp to see if it was moving. Like, was that a tremor? Oh no, I've just I just drank too much Mexican gasoline. I love it though. I do. I enjoy mezcal.
See, I always forget about both of those as an option. You know, like if I'm at a bar and I'm going to have a drink or something, I just always forget. I like tequila, but I just stick to my Coors and my Jack Daniels.
Well, when you're just trying to get a drunk that you're familiar with, it's a different drink. Like tequila, I'll be 5 drinks in a tequila. Like, I'm not even drunk right now, you guys. Have you ever been in a fist fight? Let's get in a fist fight. Like, and it's kind of like a hack tequila bit, but I realize it now that I have been drinking tequila more, that the reason hack bits exist is because they're based in truth.
Yeah, of course. So, but you've experienced that, like,
yeah,
you
I get real lit up. Like, let's.
Your personality is different on tequila than, say, whiskey.
Yeah, let's burn this goddamn city down. Whiskey's just kind of like, I got some smart ass remarks, and then I'm still just hungry and tired. But tequila's just, I recommend it. Get out there. The clear liquors. I had a friend who was very much an alcoholic, so much so that a doctor told him he absolutely had to stop drinking. And he's like, well, I'm not going to do that. He's like, I believe in quality over quantity. And the doctor's like, well, your quantity's going away.
Diminishing.
And so he said, the doctor actually told him, like, well, since I know you're not going to quit drinking, drink clear liquor.
Huh.
Drink, you know, vodka or tequila or something. Like, just clear, because it's distilled more. It's more pure. So if you're going to keep drinking, drink that.
Vodka's just dumb. What's the point? It's like I want to just tip a bottle of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, it's like the moped of liquors. You want to tangle with that world.
Yeah, I feel like I can smell vodka on people more than I can other liquors. Like,
really? That's why teachers drink it.
Really?
You can't smell vodka.
Maybe I'm misidentifying the odor. But whenever I'm around just some goober drinking a vodka cran or some girl who's vodka soda.
Well,
all right, I can smell it. Get out of my face.
I'm not going to criticize anybody's drink choice if they're trying to get drunk. If you're drinking it because look at the drink that I have.
Well, no, of course. I'm just saying I feel like I've been able to identify when people are drinking vodka even without seeing it.
Well, I say whatever you're getting into out there, live your lives.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, we were going to get into the Montauk Project, but we realized that's a deeper. That was an onion we were unpeeling. Right
yeah,
there.
We were definitely. We're going to get to that.
So we got to sit back and do some real research to give you the professional opinion you've come to expect.
Yeah.
From the Boogie Monster. But let's start with some food chit chat. What's going on with your food chit chats?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to watch a bunch of college football, and since we're on the West Coast out here. One thing, this is all new to me. I mean, I've been out here 5 years now, but and I know you're not a big football fan, but like, growing up in the Southeast, it was kickoffs always at noon. There's a 12 o'clock game and a 3:30 game, and then usually there's like a 7:30 or 8 p.m. game. But now that you know in California out here,
it'd be a fun thing to say at hospice.
Yeah,
kickoffs always at noon.
But now, I like it. A lot of my buddies out here don't like it, but I like waking up on Saturday morning in the fall, and then at 9 a.m., there's a college football game. So tomorrow, I'm going to watch some college football and cook a bunch of biscuits. I'm going to have some buddies over, and I'm going to make biscuits, and we're going to watch football. So,
you wanted to share that biscuit. I think we're coming to a regular feature here where you share a recipe.
Well, that's what I do.
People have said they've done the steak thing, and it's turned out great.
Well, I mean, and I'm not trying to make it a regular thing, but I cook. I'm not a chef, but I'm a cook. I cook a lot. And honestly, I don't – okay, I'm not saying everybody has to be an experienced chef, or you have to cook every meal that you eat. But like, I've got so many buddies that have no concept, no idea what they're doing.
You're looking at them.
But you at least attempt. You
want me to tell you my attempt today?
Yes.
First off, I'm calling it a frittata because I put the eggs in the oven for a little while. I remember last week or the week before, I think I told you how you're supposed to put dairy in eggs to make them fluffier. Sriracha ranch dressing.
How'd that work out?
Well, I don't know because I don't know what a frittata is.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, I put some spinach in a pan and I used some cooking spray that you had left here, which I thought was butter and it was olive oil. So I just olive oiled the fuck out of this pan.
Okay.
Spinach, if you don't know, when you put it in a pan to wilt, what are you, wilting it? You're wilting it?
Yes, wilting it.
You're making it sad?
Uh-huh.
That should use more than you think you need.
Yes.
Did that. Whipped, scrambled three eggs in a bowl. Did it with a whisk even. Put some of that ranch dressing in there. And then I put it in a pan, and it looks so good. It filled out the pan so well that I didn't want to make a scramble. I was saying before, everything turns into a scramble, but it was like a nice circle. It filled out the whole pan so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I put Parmesan cheese on the top of it.
Interesting.
And then I was like, well, just I tried to put a lid on it for a while, and that wasn't working. And then I forgot, what are you cooking on top of this whole time? An oven.
Yep.
So I just put it in there.
Okay.
I think I turned it on and everything. I put it in there, and it came out.
Did you preheat it or just stick it in there and
like
then turn it on?
I turned it on. And then, like, I was like, that's been on.
How long before you stuck it in there?
A couple minutes.
Yeah, you got to go about 10 minutes.
Well, I didn't, they were already cooked on the bottom.
Okay.
I wanted to cook them on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in there, and I ate them, and I wasn't pissed. Like, it wasn't good. But it wasn't, like, for what I know. I think if you got it at a restaurant, you'd be like, this isn't very good.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been like, this fucking sucks.
Uh-huh.
You would have been like, oh, this isn't really good. Which, to me, that's a Michelin star in my book.
Yeah, at least you made the attempt. You put forth some effort.
Yeah.
I got a bunch
of salad dressing and some eggs. I made a real effort.
But seriously, I've got friends, grown men, who don't even know how to turn an oven on. And I don't understand that because, again, you don't have to be a classically trained chef. But here's my point. If we're lucky, we're going to eat a couple of times a day for the rest of our life, every day. Why not learn a little bit of skill?
How you made that. If we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
We're going to eat a couple of times a day.
Yeah. I mean, we don't run out of money.
Fingers crossed.
Dude, I've been so poor.
You might get one less meal than you're guaranteed in prison.
I've been so poor where breakfast is a luxury. It's like, oh, you eat breakfast? I just hold off as long as I can and then eat at about 2 p.m.
Honestly think breakfast is like, you eat three meals a day? What are you, a king?
But like, you eat every day, multiple times a day. Why not learn a little bit? Of cooking skills. That's like not knowing how to go to the bathroom. Imagine every time you had to go to the bathroom, it was just a disaster. And you just peed all over yourself, and then you had to go somewhere and have somebody help you go to the bathroom.
This is incredibly tangential, but I think like the idea of intelligent design, the fact that you pee out of your fuck parts is so incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah, they should compartmentalize that stuff.
You know, like, you know this thing that makes more life and is of supreme pleasure? Also, my body's waste comes out of it. Also, the thing that gives life? It also ejects the things my life has rejected. Like, that's real stupid.
Yeah.
The same tube for fucking as you do for peeing.
Yeah, but there's nothing we can do about that now, Kyle.
Why is the inside of your butthole feel so nice? You know, that's a weird one, too.
Lick 'em and stick 'em, fellas.
Why'd you have to find out about that in the shower one day a couple years ago? Like, wait a minute. What happens if you just see what's, you know,
So biscuits.
Yeah. I was trying to bring it back. Well, this is more of a philosophical episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you set me up for the biscuits, and I never paid it off. So.
Really? Talking about exploring your butthole? Was it biscuit? Well, before that, yeah.
No, well, we could talk more about your butthole.
No, we don't have to. I always did think that. It was like a failed bit. Like, it's not the tone of my act to be like, man, how come your fuck hole's the same as your pee hole? Like, and that's... me impersonating you impersonating someone you grew up with. But the biscuit thing, I cut you off with my frittata story.
No, that's fine.
And I'm not going to put that recipe up, but if you got some ranch dressing, put them in some eggs. You'd be surprised.
Speaking of eggs, real quick, last week we talked about...
Speaking of which,
I I talked about my wonderful French technique.
French eggs. Put French onion dip. That's like a dressing.
That being said, the other day I made some eggs, and it's not that I don't practice what I preach, but I don't always do the French style because it does take a little while. Sometimes I'm in a hurry, and I'll just do some real prison style eggs.
If you cut out eggs out of that, it sounded like such weird sex. I don't always do the French style because I'm in a hurry or because it takes time. If I'm in a hurry, I do it prison style.
I liked it, but it hurt my wife's back. That's an old James Gregory bit. I can't take credit for that. James Gregory's this old Southern comic, this road dog, who's got this real effeminate Southern voice. And I don't mind doing his jokes because as funny as he is, he's been doing the same hour for about 30 years.
It's out there.
Yeah. And he says, I don't know any political or sexual humor because I get them confused. I was on a talk show recently. They're like, James, what's your thoughts on the Middle East position? I was like, hell, I enjoyed it. But it hurt my wife's back. So there's James Gregory.
I still love it if I see like an old school dude that's stuck. There's a guy named Fancy Ray in Minneapolis, and he just looks like James Brown, and he's all done up. Just goes by Fancy Ray. He's like, how many Fancy Rays does it take to screw in a light bulb? One, because there's only one Fancy Ray. And it was at this open mic, and everybody was like sick of it because he does it every week. Oh. But I'd been there, I'd be like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
That is great.
One, because there's only one Fancy Ray.
Wow.
Fucking bouffant hair.
Anyway, long story short, I made some eggs the other day.
Yeah,
and I thought I would. I just had a hankering to put some cheese in them every now and then.
If anybody could ever have a hankering.
Yeah, I get a hankering every now and then, and I want to put some shredded cheese in them scrambled eggs.
Yeah,
I get Waffle House style.
Yeah,
put them cheese in the eggs, and I didn't have any. But at my apartment, by the way, we have two refrigerators. Because there's four dudes, and when I moved in, there was just one. So we had like four guys operating out of one refrigerator, and I had my own in storage. So me and my buddy Ryan Singer, who's my roommate, we were like, why don't we just bring Dave's in here? Because like the other two guys were kind of occupying. So anyway, I didn't have any cheese in my fridge, so every now and then I'll poach from the other guy's fridge, and it bit me in the ass because I was like, all right, I want to put a little cheese in these eggs, and I didn't have any, so I opened the other two roommates' fridge, and they had some, and I threw some Mexican style shredded cheese in there, and then started noticing that something smells like wine, like something smelled like fermented grapes, and that cheese was like 4 months expired and just ruined.
Don't you see that on cheese, though?
You would think. You would think. But this, to the naked eye, this looked like normal cheese. Granted, I didn't check the expiration date. But it was
fuzzy Mexican cheese.
It was putrid. I mean, it stunk. It smelled like
You got it into the eggs.
Yes,
already?
I just grabbed the bag and took a little handful, a little pinch.
It was shredded already?
Pre-shredded.
What? Okay, let me ask you this.
And
Dave.
It was putrid, and it ruined my eggs.
What would you do if?
And my day.
What would you do? Like, say you saw some bread or an item, or more specifically,
some what?
Cheese.
Bread or an item?
Or another item that had some mold on it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you cut away that mold and just
absolutely.
Go?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Good answer.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
That's what I did.
Yeah, like a banana. there's a bruise or a brown spot, I'm not going to throw away the whole.
You can eat a brown banana.
Well, yeah, you can eat
it. But like I had Parmesan. I had a previous bowl of shredded Parmesan cheese that like some mold was growing on some of the shreds.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, that's indicative of the age of the whole dish of cheese. But cheese is already inherently mold.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to eat it right then, so I just picked out that moldy part.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I'm not, I'm wondering if I should be more gross. Like, okay.
I'm a raccoon.
What? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, what camp do you fall in where it's like, I should never taint my body with the poisons if it's old? Or, like,
look,
I'm so
me.
Close to just eating out of a dumpster just because it's there.
Dude, I used to work at Longhorn Steakhouse, and I would routinely eat food off of strangers' plates.
At a steakhouse?
At a steakhouse.
Fuck yeah.
There's a chicken finger. I'm going to take that and throw it in the trash when I'm poor and hungry. I'm eating that.
My friend Chris Locke, he's a Toronto comedian, but he had a joke. And it's like, I can't do his cadence right, but it was just like right up my alley of comedy. Like, it's already after a series of jokes about him like waving at a horse cop, but really just he waved at the horse and then just saying something like, he's like, and then I saw some pancakes in the garbage, and the only reason I didn't eat them is because there was a bee on them.
The bee is what stopped
it. It's like, oh, all right, those
oh,
are
man.
Yours.
I'll eat stuff off the floor. I don't care.
If it's my floor.
Other people's floor.
I'll eat off restaurant tables, like if something falls.
Even as a little kid, like you drop something like outside on the floor and then you'd start to eat it and your buddy'd be like, ooh, maybe somebody peed on that. Like, what are the odds that somebody peed where that dropped?
Especially as a little kid, you do that. Now I'm like, I live this long.
Mm-hmm.
Now it should be acceptable. Like, it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
Like what? Like E. coli and stuff. That'll kill you.
Hey.
But that's just because somebody didn't. That's because that's something else. Like dirt, you can eat dirt.
Man, I got into a big debate with.
My mom let me eat ants when I was little. If I should say that.
Got in a big debate with Ryan Singer the other day, my roommate, who we mention a lot on this podcast. But I guess maybe he's a little bit lactose intolerant. And I was half joking, but half serious. It's like, man, that's a state of mind. Like,
I don't think that is.
I do. And his point was like, no, idiot, I shit when
diabetes, that's all in your head, man.
This is my point. I
how,
feel like...
How are the third eye?
Who's to say that at 40 years old that your body just kind of reacts differently to certain foods and certain ingredients than it did when you were 20? And I'm not saying, I'm not accusing Ryan of this, but I feel like a lot of people, it's a narcissistic thing of like, I've got a condition. No, that's kind of normal. You just like telling people you've got a condition because it makes you sound more interesting.
All right, but knowing Ryan Singer and the fact that he thinks that crystals will put him in a spiritually correct direction in life, if a little cheese gives him the shits, I'm going to believe him that he's in tune. Like, I'm going to believe that he realized that, like, cheese makes me shit. Amethyst makes me make good financial choices. Like, he's in tune with stuff.
And my point was, I'm not saying it doesn't affect him negatively. I'm just saying maybe – who's to say that's not just what happens sometimes? And I'm prefacing this because Ryan is so not this guy. He's the most non he's just a humble, great dude. But I feel like a lot of people walk around, I'm gluten intolerant, I'm lactose intolerant. No, you just like talking about yourself.
Well, but you could talk about yourself in a lot of other ways. Like, I hate Mexicans. But you can't – like, people can talk about themselves in all kinds of negative ways if they want to.
My point was, I just feel like there's more allergies and conditions today than there was 200 years ago. The old Chris Rock joke, you think anybody in Rwanda's got a lactose intolerance? And yes, maybe they do. But, like, I just feel like it's just...
But, all right, okay, let me put that in the context of the boogie monster right now. Yeah, if anybody in Rwanda's lactose intolerant, you have no food, you can't do anything. Is anybody here, like, now, because we're at a point where we can sit here and believe in Bigfoot and aliens because we don't have other problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So if you don't have other problems, you can start looking at your diet and going, maybe if I eliminate this one little thing, it makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Like, that's why we could sit here and go, well, everything else is kind of bullshit, but cops aren't going to shoot me just for being black, and I'm not totally shit poor, and I can still get a few bucks because I tell jokes. I'm going to sit here and talk about Bigfoot because, like, that's – you can now be a little bit more specific.
Mm-hmm.
You can dial in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can dial it in more. You know, there's I'm trying to think of an example of people that are always like car guys, like race car guys. It's always fine tuning.
Mm-hmm.
Always fine tuning. Oh, I can make it a little faster.
Yeah.
People do that with their lives. It's obnoxious when you want to just talk about it.
Yeah.
But we're sitting in a room with my five bicycles. And that's it. Like, if I'm going to get around other bike guys...
Six bicycles.
Well, one of them's Rachel's.
Okay.
But if I'm going to get around other bike guys, I'm going to talk about, like, yeah, well, the carbon fiber bars, actually, that's going to lighten it up a little bit. And it's weird. But they feel like they could talk to somebody else about gluten because, well, you eat stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what we eat. We're talking about the gasoline that we put in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how we're fueling our hot rods. And somebody else found a different mix that makes their hot rod function better.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about that.
I just
that
come
was
from the
long
school
metaphor.
I just come from the school of rub some dirt on it, walk it off, and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Some people are just so up their own ass that they've got it. I've been to too many parties and talked to too many dipshits about their fucking dietary restrictions and this and that. Just shut the fuck up and eat a hamburger and get out of my face.
But it's because nobody else wants to talk to you about aliens at a party.
Yeah,
and that's why we're here now in the annex.
That's
because
true.
We don't get to go to parties anymore because we weird the fuckers out that just want to talk about their gluten-free diets. And we want to sit here and be like, Area 51 is just a ruse because Area 52 is where the shit's really going on. And like, you're creeping people out around the gluten-free sushi rolls.
It's true.
And I want to make fun of it, I have to respect it as just – it's all on the same level of very specific interests about your life.
Yeah.
So – I want to go back. This is going back to a weird thing. The two fridges thing.
Yeah.
I never rented an apartment until I moved to LA.
Uh-huh.
And when they were like, yeah, you need to get your own refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, this is a fucking scam.
Yeah.
But that's how it is here. People don't realize that.
That's how it is here. Yeah. Before when I lived in Georgia, every apartment I've ever rented had a fridge included. But out here, it was like, yeah, no. You
so that's why I thought people might think it's weird. Like, why do you have a fridge in store? Because you'll move into apartments, like, yeah, there's no refrigerator. But like, there would be a stove.
Yeah,
I've never had to buy a stove, but nope, you got to get your own fridge.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
And then when I got my fridge the first time I moved here, I'm like, well, this fridge is for sure coming with me because fuck, they're not getting a free fucking. And then you come time to move, you're like, I'm not moving a goddamn fridge. You
yeah,
can have it. But that was a weird thing in California that people don't realize that you have to purchase your own refrigerator.
Yeah, I wonder why that's a California thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway.
You want to get to...
I never did pay off the biscuits.
Oh, shit, man.
You all asked right. me about what I'm into
well,
food-wise this week.
We opened with this was going to be a
should I
rambler.
Save the biscuits?
I mean...
A lot of people ask about my biscuits. I talked about the biscuit a la mode before.
Did I
talk about the biscuit pop-up?
Your biscuit brings all the boys to the yard. Tell them about the biscuits, Dave. Give them a shout.
Well, people ask me about my biscuits. And you know why they ask me about my biscuits?
Why is that, Dave?
Because they're fucking good. This sounds silly, and it sounds like hyperbole.
This part's going to sound like hyperbole.
I spent a year and a half perfecting this biscuit recipe.
Oh, Dave locked himself away in his laboratory.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to give away my actual recipe. I'll just give some tips.
This is like a weird – like you're giving people – you're going a real Da Vinci Code type thing with this biscuit recipe.
Well, no. I mean, because I'm still – well, here's the thing.
Technically, if you put this together, you won't even make biscuits. You'll make a bomb.
Well, because I'm still not 100% sure that one day that I'm not going to hit up Uncle Kyle for a loan and start my own biscuit truck.
Well, do you think – but what about – This is what I predicted. Like, maybe this is what happens with recipes too, but I predicted it about music with the internet. Like, somebody will just put one beat out there and then send it out, and everybody will sample it, and it'll be moved around and this and that. That's how it works with recipes. Mm-hmm. You put your biscuit recipe out there, and you're the that's the OB. That's the original biscuit recipe, but mm-hmm. then everybody else is just adding to it and fucking mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah.
But then you keep it secret. You keep the original one, some component secret.
Yeah.
Like, they thought that the KFC recipe got spilled.
Yeah.
But and you don't give a fuck about
that. Yeah, who gives a shit? Call me when Bojangles' recipe gets leaked.
All right, man. Give him the biscuits.
Well, first of all, out here, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing when it comes to biscuits. I went to Lily's. Should I slander people? Should I call people out?
Yeah, man. It's one less free meal you're going to get this time.
All right. Pretend I didn't say Lily's.
Where's Lily's?
It's on Sunset and Silver Lake.
Millie's.
Sorry. I ordered a biscuit there. Looked like a muffin. I almost threw it in the server's face.
Well, first off, that's not their fault.
Put it in a muffin tin.
I happen to enjoy the Millie's.
Make a biscuit in a muffin tin.
You can't make a biscuit in a muffin tin?
You can. They obviously do. It fucking sucks. All right, there's a lot of hipster biscuits out there. Where I come from in Atlanta, I won't name this name, but there's a real popular chain. Every year, best biscuit, Reader's Choice, best biscuit. It's a fucking hipster biscuit with cranberry apple bullshit compote on it. All right, I'll calm down. It's just dusty, chalky, dry-ass, stupid hockey puck biscuit.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
I'm passionate.
I understand.
I'm passionate. I care.
It's kind of real.
I care about biscuits.
If you're from Atlanta, you might not want to listen to this part.
Take that shortening. Take that Crisco, that shortening, throw it in the trash. Butter. Real butter. Not margarine. Butter. Real butter. Freeze your butter. There's your tip. All right. When you start messing, freeze your butter and grate it with a cheese grater. It serves two purposes. Grating it with a cheese grater keeps all those little bits of butter uniform and the same size and super small, and it's easier for it to incorporate into the flour. So it's nicely distributed throughout the flour. And by freezing it, when you put your hands in there and you start messing with that butter, your body heat, you wouldn't think it, but the body heat from your hands and your fingers is going to melt that butter just a little bit if it's room temp or refrigerator temp. You want to freeze it so you don't have to encounter that. You want everything... With biscuits, everything has to be cold as shit. You want everything to be cold. So freeze your butter. Grate it with a cheese grater.
Frozen butter.
Yeah. Egg wash right before it goes into the oven. Take your little egg wash, crack you a couple eggs in a bowl, whisk them up, get your little butter brush, and paint those biscuits.
I don't know anything
with the egg wash.
Right now.
You want all the biscuits on the pan touching each other. That way... There's nowhere when it starts to rise.
There's more love in the dish.
Yeah, when it starts, the biscuits inevitably will rise. There's nowhere for it to go but up.
What a nice metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice metaphor for teamwork. Like, the self-esteem gets everybody going. Let them. Mm-hmm. If you're by yourself, it's harder to get out there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So make like a biscuit, and rub up against like-minded folk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That, like, this is a philosophy of a version.
There may or may not be a metaphor here. A lot of people have the issue with burning the bottoms of the biscuit. Dave, my bottoms are burning. All right. Well, you take that.
My biscuits are burning.
You take that tray of biscuits and you put it on the top rack, not on the bottom rack of the oven.
Right there.
Yeah, because on the bottom rack, that heat source from the bottom of the oven. Is too close to that pan, you're going to burn the bottom of the biscuits. You want to take your tray of biscuits,
right.
Put it on the top. That way you avoid that. So anyway, I'm not going to give away.
You're giving some biscuit tips, not biscuit recipes.
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll give the ingredients. I won't give the quantities. If you want the actual quantities, the actual amounts, email us. BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com.
You're going to go on and give out this biscuit recipe, Dave?
One at a time. If people want it, you can email me, and I'll respond. All right. Unbleached.
I feel like there should be a clause of, like, if you ask Dave for the biscuit recipe, you make it for your loved ones.
Yeah.
And don't go fucking about.
Yeah, you start.
Because these are good biscuits.
Start your food truck. I'll come like.
Dave will flip it over.
Paulie Walnuts and demand a vig.
Yeah.
All right. Unbleached all-purpose flour. All right. Even with the all-purpose, or no, usually with the all-purpose, you'll add the baking powder as a leavening agent to make it rise. All right, but I add a little extra
baking powder.
Baking powder,
not bacon powder.
Yeah, baking. Sorry. In Georgia, we drop the G, but yeah, I forget.
Well, no,
sometimes.
I get it. You got real Southern, but I thought there was something that was actually bacon powder.
Man, that'd be good.
Okay, so that's you understand my confusion.
Exactly. Unbleached all-purpose flour, baking soda, bacon powder, kosher salt, unsalted butter, buttermilk, not regular milk, buttermilk, and sugar. It's easy as
you
that.
You want to get yourself some butter and then a different type of butter?
Well, they're salted and unsalted.
Powdered butter.
Get that salted butter, it's going to screw up your ratios. So.
Well, Dave just hit you with it, everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Egg wash right before it goes in and butter right when it comes out. Right before you serve that biscuit, you get you some melted butter. Take that butter brush, spread some butter on the top. Oh, boy. There's nothing
I'm not
going to
be here for biscuits tomorrow. Now
there
I'm
is
pissed.
Nothing
now
better than a good homemade biscuit, dude.
I get it, man.
And I've talked about that, right? Did I talk about the biscuit pop-up and selling
I think
biscuits?
If you haven't, it'll come.
My point is,
we know that you can.
I'm a professional. I've made money off of biscuits. I'm a professional biscuit maker.
Dave's got biscuit money.
All right. So if you want the amounts, BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com. I'll be
discreet about it out there.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Like be special about it. All right, we're sharing something with you. And if you want that ranch dressing frittata recipe. I didn't measure anything. You just go in there. I got a squirtable Trader Joe's bottle of Sriracha Ranch dressing, and I think I gave it two solid squeezes and then a dribble. Three eggs, and then first a bunch of spinach, and then just muck around a bit. You know, get in there and dick around with it.
Other than your,
I'm not going to email that recipe because I don't know what it was.
Other than your Frankenstein frittata, did you eat anything good this week?
Nope. I had some good. I was real hard up for some Chinese food. So.
That's right. So you took care of that,
man.
Today.
What like is a Chinese? Is Chinese food always? I'll eat Panda Express and it's great. Mm-hmm. And if you put that on just a nice plate, I would think I was at like a regular, like, I don't want this to sound disrespectful, but even at like going to a Chinese restaurant, like it's the same shit. Unless it's like the fanciest version of a thing. Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Like late at night, sometimes I'll wind up like Rachel and be like, let's go to Chinatown and get some 2 a.m. slippery shrimp or something. But you're still getting the like orange chicken, you know, Szechuan beef and everything. And sometimes you just need that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had last night. I had a hankering for some shrimp fried rice and some green beans, garlic green beans. And it hit the spot. And I love eating with chopsticks because I think it makes you take your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you get full faster because you're like, oh, I just ate so much because you think of how many bites. Psychologically,
yeah,
that's why.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's why they're tinier people.
Yeah. Is that your go-to order at a Chinese restaurant?
I got no go-to.
No?
I used to be like a pork fried rice guy, but I try to lay off some of the meat these days.
You know what I love at a Thai restaurant? Crab fried rice. You ever had that?
Ooh, is it real crab or fake crab?
It depends on where you go. Sometimes I've had it.
Okay. I've never touched a crab leg.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived in Chicago, but that fake crab, that peeled, that like
I don't mind that
8-pack hot dog sealed, one side painted red,
weird whitefish, cod or whatever it is.
Oh my! That came out and it was equal parts my dad and the cat that we had mm-hmm. losing their shit over mm-hmm. it. Like the cat would be running in circles, like meow, 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 and my dad's like, "You got the fake crab," and it was just my dad losing his shit, toothpick after toothpick, and cocked every family party. My mom would get pissed because she'd put out a great spread for a party, and then my dad would be the first one, and she'd be like, "We got guests. What are you doing?" He's like, "What are you putting it out there for then?" And the cat's like just half on the table, like fucking Pat. If you're doing this, don't even leave me out of it. And it was one of the cats that we stole from the neighborhood. So the cat had no rules.
that bit about your mom stealing cats.
Oh, she didn't. I mean, they gravitated because it was a good home. So technically, we didn't steal them, but they did belong to other people. And then we just had a way better environment. So the cats were like, go fuck yourself where I was living before. Like, we had this one. It was a Maine Coon cat, the coolest type of cats you could ever have.
Yeah, those are some beasts.
They're hunters. They'll bring birds. I'm surprised that thing didn't bring another cat back into the house dead. But the most laid-back breed of cat. Like, you could wear it around your neck like a fox scarf if you want to do the cat. It's like, all right, what's going on? Like, if you're going to break out some lunch meat soon, I'll put up with this shit for another week. And, oh, man, that cat was so great. And, like, it just started coming around. And my mom would always just, like, put food by the door. Be like, oh, look, it's coming to get the food. And then she'd put a little further in the house. Oh, it's coming in the house to get the food. Can you believe it? Like,
yeah
it's a cat. That's what it does. Then she put it further in the house. Oh, it came all the way in the living room to get the food. And then 2 weeks later, this is our cat. Like, we would just have it. And then some kid from down the street came back. And he was, like, holding it and walking away. My mom was like, what are you doing? It's like, this is Ashley. It's our cat. And my mom's like, nobody names a cat fucking Ashley. Put it down. It's ours. And
that's
the
funny.
Kid just left. Wow. And it did. It belonged to the house. And the people came by like, I guess it's okay because that cat's pretty mean to our children and everything. This cat's amazing. Your children are dicks.
That reminds me. I've just I found a new Twitter account. It's called Black Metal Cats. And it's these great photographs of these beautiful, majestic cats. And then whoever does it, the caption is some black metal lyric, some, you know, Norwegian mythical bullshit.
We were talking about last week about you getting on Rover and stuff, and we're hard up about pets.
Man, I got the puppy fever bad. Me and my buddy Lisa Best, we have the relationship where we send each other cat pics.
She's got Chewy.
And puppy pics.
Chewy's a badass dog.
And I don't know if you noticed today, but I included you in the group.
Yeah, and I already saw that one. I already saw that goddamn Pomeranian.
Oh, man.
All right, let's...
Okay, before we move on...
20 minutes left.
I meant to say this. Thai food tip.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, Thai food tip. Talking about the crab fried rice. All right, you want to have some fun? You want to have some fun with a Thai meal?
Here's what
you do.
I had it for dinner. I'll eat it again.
This is the Dave combo. All right, you call up your local Thai restaurant. You order get some crab fried rice, and then you also get you an order of red curry pork or red curry chicken. The pork or the chicken, you'll soon find out, kind of irrelevant.
You're going to put them together, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think you had confessed this before.
No, I haven't talked about this, not on the podcast. All right, get that crab fried rice, throw half of it in a bowl, and then you take that Tupperware, that little weird Tupperware thing that they give you of the red curry, whether it's pork or chicken, it doesn't matter, but you pour that soupy red curry into the bowl over the fried rice. Oh, my God.
You know
what? Red curry pork and crab fried rice. I'm a genius.
You should have, outside of like a mobile biscuit shop, you should have like a confessional where people confess the food that they've eaten and you make them feel okay.
Yeah.
Like people would be like, oh, God, I came in and I had a burrito. But then I just bought a burrito from Taco Bell, but then I opened up and I put chicken fingers in it. I'm sorry, Dave. I've sinned. And you'll be like, it's okay. What you want to actually do is get yourself some Szechuan sauce. And it's going to set it off like you've never realized.
Oh, man.
Go in peace. And then people could just confess what they think are food sins to you. And you would just make them feel better. And then like be like, no, you're all are welcome. All children are welcome.
Food's an art, man. You gotta,
I get it.
Food is an art. You got to keep those gears turning.
I think we've been asking people for scary things to talk about. Maybe we just need more recipes.
Probably. What are we talking about today? I have no idea.
Well, this is kind of a
I literally have no idea. This is the first episode where I don't know what we're talking about.
Some current events. And let's be honest, we're recording this a few weeks in advance because you're going to be on the road at this point. Mm-hmm. No illusion to it. But like, we're going to talk about the fact that there was a radio frequency intercepted that people think is proof of intelligent life. And then Russia was saying, no, it's a satellite that's been out there. And I think they proved that it was the satellite. But then I did stumble across a very interesting article that I think we can bounce some ideas off of. Much like radio signals being shot into space,
mm-hmm.
we can... this is a scientist commenting on what... So John L. Miller, computer science, he's a computer scientist with a PhD. But he answered what human life could expect if there is proof that intelligent life is out there.
Okay. So how would he know?
Well, he's got a PhD in computer science.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a website called Quora. Q-U-O-R-A. I heard about it today.
I like how I said that all self-righteous. How would he know?
Yeah, well...
Because I might know.
But honestly... But no, nobody knows. Like, oh, how... Computer science doesn't mean you know how... Like, I would want to hear about a I would want to hear from a sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that. A sociologist. Tell me how... somebody who studies people, not computers.
Yeah.
So fuck this guy. Anyway, what he said, what this fucking idiot said, if there's proof of alien life. this know-it-all douchebag, he thinks, first off, but we were talking about this earlier. We did a little prep on it. Oh, there's a whole other thing. God damn the internet and its links. He thinks, first off, there would be secrecy. If you find out there is extraterrestrial life, or if a government agency or whatever agencies are exploring these things into deep space, they would keep it secret. I think they're doing that already.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's what we're in now.
Yeah, that's the point of... That's why we're here right now talking into these
everybody
microphones.
Loves it. That was the one thing that the weirdos got, like that secret. Hillary was like early on her campaign... It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to open up the files on aliens.
Yeah.
How little did you think you could be the president if early on you're just making promises like, yeah, we're going to find out about aliens and shit? I want to believe that, but you went for that vote before you went like the I'm cool with black people vote. That's fucked. Like, president, like, this like, we're fucked either way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
But early on, that was early on. Oh, she was on a late night show. Maybe she was just trying to be entertaining. I hope not. I want to find out about black people. I heard they're out there. Well, tell me about them. Let me learn.
It's secrecy. A hoax.
It's a hoax. Black people are a hoax. Are we? I'm not going to edit it. Talk to me later. I had whiskey. We are a comedy podcast. We know... Black people are real.
Of course. That was a joke. I love black people.
That's why there's no black conspiracy theorists, because they already have enough real shit to deal with.
That's a great point.
You're never going to hear a black guy going like, man, I think aliens are real. It'd be like, cops are shooting us. Fuck you and your dumb theories.
Oh, my God. That's a great point.
That's proof that you're just white and doing okay when you're like, ah, oh, man, I wonder if Area 51 is legitimate, and they're just like, cops will murder us because we're doing what they say they want us to do.
Let me manufacture some concern.
Yeah, yeah. Let me make up some fake things that I can be interested in because I don't have those terrestrial problems that they have. I feel bad. It's a rough time out there. That's why we decided to not address those issues. This is a purely entertainment-based podcast to not think about real-world issues that are fucking horrible right now. So good luck, whoever you want to vote for. I don't care. If aliens are real, this scientist who likes computers thinks that second would be authoritarianism.
You're just making up words now.
I had to read it to make sure I said it right. I fucking nailed it. But that makes sense, though. Okay. What if there's proof that something's out there and it wants to communicate with us? War. Immediately, military forces will be gathered up. Because that's the only thing. Here's a question. Is it people are just so hell-bent on being in military? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I have a friend. I think they get excited about the concept of conflict.
People, you know, or the military?
The military, but people that like that. Generals, things like that. Uh-huh. Certain presidents. But also individuals. I mean, I have a friend. He grew up around guns and everything. And he, I remember being the kid in my hometown, my suburban, white suburban hometown. If you walked his dog at night, he had a gun on him.
Really?
And it was a big, like, I don't want to be caught with, I don't want to be caught with my pants down. So, yeah, I'm going to talk to him recently. Like, I don't want to be caught with my pants down. Some guy wants to shoot up the grocery store or something. But I think there's a thrill. There's a thrill to that conflict.
Absolutely. Like, same reason those open carry.
Not smiling joy, but like a deep-rooted psychological joy. The same reason we'd be excited to like have to doomsday prep, I think.
Mm-hmm. The same reason the open carry assholes in Texas have got AR-15s around their neck when they go to McDonald's. It's like, just fucking take it easy. Just relax.
But there's a hard-on you get from it. There's a stimulus that you get from.
And don't get me wrong, I'm pro-gun. I'm in the sense that
I'm not anti-gun.
Yeah,
but this
open carry assault rifle bullshit. Come on.
And that's a deeper argument. Like we just said, or I just said, we're not going. But like, well, then nobody else is going to start something. Yeah, because everybody is just looking at people with assault rifles.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a fun world.
No.
Yeah, but there won't be another mass shooting. But it's also just going to suck as an average.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a leaving your house, everyone has rifles.
Yeah, that's...
Not saying there needs to be a mass shooting because I like skipping around saying what I feel like. But imagine just the taped over mouths of the world if everybody just has an assault rifle and I'm never going to speak my mind.
Yeah.
And if everybody qualifies for a gun, all right. Anyway, that I get that. We can always.
We just made the statement that we're not political.
Just going against it. But it makes sense though. Like, well, there's a mass shooting. We better all have guns. Imagine if there's just aliens out there and somebody freaks out. Well, then we all should probably have tanks. You know, paint pointed at the sky, but just in case I'll point it at my neighbor. Number three, religious polarization. I could see that. You know, more people, well, exactly what it says. More people are like, well, I sort of believe in Jesus, but now I totally believe in it because if these things are coming, what's that?
Yeah.
The devil. When the devil, hell isn't under earth, it was just another planet.
Yeah.
Or it's more people going, clearly, fuck this stuff. It's not real. I lost it because I think something's hacking into my Google account right now. Societal shift? Well, that's a pretty obvious. Yeah, I guess society will do something different if aliens are real. Well, that was the last thing. Four. This guy only had fucking four. Fuck this guy. He didn't know shit.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, all right, man. Like, we didn't know... We were going to do Montauk Project, but it needed more science.
Yeah.
What do you want? What's your thrown in a story?
What happened to those reindeer?
Ooh, how many of them were?
Like over 300?
300 and...
In Norway? A couple weeks ago?
Okay, yeah. That was a weird one. I got the number here. It was 323 reindeer died from a lightning strike in Norway. That was, from what I read... Lightning travels through living beings. Animals gather up during a storm. Reindeer, especially tragic, given their mythical or theological belief in. That's a hard one to tell the kids. A lot of kids going, well, how do Christmas presents get here?
Man, that's a dark Christmas comedy.
Yeah.
Straight to video. Movie waiting to happen.
He just like the sleigh gets hit by lightning. and Santa's okay, but all like, imagine, all right, just dead reindeer.
That seems like a lot.
Tied together.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem. It is a lot. The most reindeer anybody has ever thought about is 12. That's the biggest group of reindeer anybody has ever. Most people don't even think reindeer are fucking real, let alone 323 can die in one place.
That is crazy. So knowing nothing about how that works, that just seems like that's crazy.
That's 30 times the amount.
So, well, what do you think? I've seen some articles floating around that they're like, yeah, there's something deeper going on.
That the Grinch just got fucking serious. I'm the Grinch. I'm going to do things. I'm going to kill your fucking reindeer. I'm going to take out your whole transportation base. That's like the Grinch just went full ISIS. That's what that is. The Grinch is like, all right, now this, we're going to suicide bomb every Santa at a shopping mall. I've just killed all your reindeer. I've taken out your transportation methods. We're going to suicide bomb all the malls. You want a dark movie.
That's it.
There was a commercial on that like made fun of September 11th.
Really?
It didn't even advertise a product. It was just September 11th is pretty fucking gay.
Commercial?
It was a mattress company in Texas, and they had a September 11th sale. It looked like a bad sketch comedy thing, but for September 11th, you're going to say it was, oh, God. Like, it was a thing, it was on CNN.com where as soon as, like, this commercial is blasphemous to make fun of September 11th, and I was like, I was already on board. I was like, balls, let's see it. And it was, you get the price of a full-size mattress for a Twin Towers price.
Oh, no.
And then it was two Middle Eastern-looking people behind the woman saying it. And like, and you have savings. She put her arms out and she hit them, and they both fell back onto two Twin Towers of mattresses.
Wow.
Which, you know, what is this forbidden fruit that makes the tastiest burgers?
Nope.
It's some fucking dumb Bill Maher phrase or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
He's a good time.
What is it? Forbidden fruit makes the...
I don't know.
Some dumb shit.
I don't appreciate sacred you trying
cows,
to trick
sacred
me.
Cows make the best burger. They made a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But why did I start talking about that?
I don't know.
Why don't you interrupt me more, Dave?
Hmm?
See?
What are you talking about?
You let me. I start talking myself in these dumb corners, and then we're fucked, man. And you could have really jumped in here a lot sooner.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic. Saying that I do interrupt you.
No, pull your weight and cut me off when I start saying stupid shit right now.
I'm not prepared this week because I've got. I don't know. I just got a lot of other stuff going on, man. Got a deodorant issue I'm dealing with.
What's wrong with your pits?
My deodorant just stopped working.
I think deodorant's a scam.
Does that happen? Does deodorant just stop working?
I've had it where like one pit will just sweat. Like I'll wear deodorant and then one pit's sweating.
I thought maybe I just grabbed the Old Spice South Georgia Peanut Farmer scent.
Oh, no, that's a good joke. A good one.
I just smell. Just stopped. Just stopped working all of a sudden.
I think it's a scam. I think your body... Okay, maybe your nose gets used to your own smell, or maybe eventually... Maybe you sweat more because, I'm not wearing deodorant, and you're nervous. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about... All right, here... People have grand conspiracy theories. That's a joke that I have. Like people have grand... But what about basic level conspiracy theories? Maybe deodorant's just... This bullshit conspiracy theory, like, you stink and women won't love you. And so you start wearing deodorant. And it doesn't work great, but when you put it on after a shower, it smells great. And then it starts wearing off. And that's the time they come out with extra strength and all this other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But then what if you just stop wearing deodorant? What if you just stop? couple days, it's pretty bad. But then eventually your body will right itself.
You think so?
I think so. I don't wear deodorant. I smell fucking great.
You really don't wear deodorant?
Nope. Ever. I got one hippie stick in the house.
That Tom's of Maine crap? Yeah. That don't work.
No, it smells like iced tea, which I like, which we've established.
You really don't. How many days a week do you not wear deodorant?
7.
Really?
Yeah, fuck it.
And we spend a lot of time together, and I've never noticed that you smell
what
bad.
Doing? What, you think I'm going to get a loan or something? I'm not. I don't have a time. But also, it might be more of a predicament for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Body odor.
Yeah.
Do you smell it with your head upright, or you got to put your face in your pit to get a whiff of it? It's got zinc in it. It's not good for you. Or aluminum. Some sort of metal that doesn't seem like it should be in deodorant.
I do notice every now and then, I will notice that like my pit will be tender. You ever experience that? Well, you don't because you don't wear deodorant. But like,
nope.
Yeah, I agree. Like you shouldn't.
That fits right in.
It's not good. It's not good to just be slathering it on every day. But my thing is, I'm a big fella. I'm overweight. I got to lose some pounds. You can't be fat and smelly. So I have impeccable hygiene. So that's a commitment. That's something I can control. It's easier for me to shower, brush my teeth, and put on deodorant than it is to do crunches and cardio. So I made that choice. Like, if I'm going to be a big dude, I got to smell good.
What about a little baby powder up in there?
I never thought of that.
A little Gold Bond or something.
I do the Gold Bond in other areas, but I never thought about it there.
I do that. Well, throw it up in there.
Huh.
It's doing the same job when you put it in your nethers.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put some all-purpose flour up there. Same thing.
Is it really?
Probably. Looks the same.
Would you cook with Gold Bond?
That'd be an interesting biscuit.
Oh.
It'd be a minty biscuit.
That would be an interesting biscuit. Dave's Gold Bond biscuits.
All right.
We got into it. It was a philosophical discussion.
Was it?
Did
I tell you about the boom?
I don't know about in retrospect, but...
Are we wrapping it up, or do we got time for one more thing?
You can tell. What you got a thing?
I heard a boom the other day. Heard an explosion in my neighborhood. I live in Glendale, California.
Well, do you want to talk?
What was the last thing we talked about before I brought that up?
I don't know. We got to do... I like it was mysterious, a mysterious pause.
Yeah.
Maybe we time travel. Boom! Talking about last week's episode, but maybe we're talking about next week's episode.
I do want to revisit that. There's so much more we can get into with time
That's
travel.
That's the beauty of time travel. You can always revisit it.
Oh, man. Well, this is fun.
We got at it.
It's a good time.
Let's bring her in for a landing.
Bring her in for a landing? Well, we always do this towards the end. Comic of the week this week. Who are we talking about?
We were joking about Inside. I'm going to say Matt Knudsen.
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Matt Knudsen, Knudsen.
I believe that's correct.
Knudsen.
Funny
Matt
dude.
Matt Knudsen. Just a guy that I met doing like when I first met, and just what's funny is he looks very proper all the time. Mm-hmm. He looks like a politician,
mm-hmm.
Very clean cut guy. And to talk to him, he always speaks very, but he's hilarious, just a fun dude. But mm-hmm. It's very not loose, like kind of reserved guy. But then he shows you like, oh, he has my ID from when I was in the Merchant Marines. He's just got long hair, was a surfer. He's like, oh, he has Merchant Marines. It tells about how he, like, I saw you like a Toyota Tacoma. Like, I like that Tacoma. He's like, yeah, I won that on a game show when I first moved. Like, he's got all these stories, and he has
the best buffet bit I've ever heard, and as a guy who has ample buffet material, I was a little jealous when I heard this bit.
As far as jokes that you just tell other people about, like, give me, okay, what comic has a joke that you like? And if I have two people, like two jokes I go to always,
mm-hmm.
And his is one of them. And he just talks about what, imagine ordering from a waiter or waitress
from the
what
menu.
You get for yourself from a buffet.
That's such a great premise.
And I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, no, we won't ruin it, but what a great premise.
One line that got me, and I don't even know if it's made it. He's got a recording out there. I don't know the name of the album, but he's Matt Knudsen. But what? Just one line from that bit, he's like, I will have a hard shell taco filled with ham cubes. I will take one bite of that and realize it was a terrible idea. And then he just goes on to list other things you get from a buffet. And if you've ever, I grew up near a Ponderosa.
What's a Ponderosa?
It's a very, I can't believe I got a blank look out of you about.
It sounds Ponderosa. Like a family dining restaurant.
I think it sounds like the longest fast food buffet that exists. Not fast food, but the longest buffet that you could get. Now, here's the gimmick.
This.
Size, length, just pure in feet. Be like, this is the longest buffet. But here was the trick. You'd start in the middle of it, and it was the same thing on two latitudes.
Huh.
You get your plate in the middle of the buffet. If you went right or went left, it was the same shit. So that was their it was a racket.
So it's not that long.
So, no, it was. They just took the same buffet and doubled it.
That's how they get you.
I like the diced ham cube thing. That line hits me so, because I was like, it's ham, but little.
Mm-hmm.
I damn near came close to sprinkling that on a Sunday. Because ham, oh, oh.
Who doesn't like ham?
People put bacon on ice cream. Why would you put little tiny ham cubes on it? Little ham sprinklers.
Mm.
Little ham sprinklers.
Sounds good.
It's my wrestling name.
So he got an album out? He's got an album out.
He does. I don't know the name of it. Google it.
I think there's an American flag involved.
Yeah, it is. And it's, shit. It's out there. We'll get it. Matt Knudsen.
Matt Knudsen.
People can, if they're already listening to this, you're on some sort of device.
Well, all right, buddy.
You want to say anything?
I feel like I've said enough.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
You got anything to plug?
Oh, man. I don't know where, even know where this is going to be out there. Where's this going to live?
If you're in Atlanta, come see me at the Red Clay Comedy Festival last weekend of September. Should be coming up pretty soon. It's good, but you, you didn't do that last year. Our buddy who books that tried to book you this year.
Yeah, but I couldn't make it out
but,
of there.
But you big-timed him.
That's what I did. I totally big-timed him.
Yeah, because everybody knows Kyle Kinane's a big-timer.
Give me more money!
But no, it's going to be fun. You should do it next year or whenever you can. But Red Clay Comedy Festival, this will be the second year that they've done it. Our buddy Gilbert is kind of the curator of the festival. And headliners this year, our buddy Rory Scovel. Clayton English, who was Comic of the Week, I believe, last week or the week before, two weeks ago.
Rory Scovel is a force to be reckoned.
Man, Rory's great. You and him are great together in Those Who Can't, by the way. Again, season one on Hulu. Rory Scovel, Clayton English, and Colin Firth. No, God.
Colin Farrell.
What's my problem? I can't think.
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin SNL, New York guy.
Colin...
Tough crowd.
Yeah.
Wow. How can
Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn. Jeez. What a brain fart. Those are going to be the three headliners. Oh, and it's this year it's in conjunction with like this crazy music festival. Mastodon's going to be there. NoFX is going to be there. And I think Run the Jewels. So Red Clay Comedy Festival is, I forgot the name of the music festival.
In Atlanta.
So last week in September, should be next week or two. Again, I can't do the math of when this is coming out. But if you're anywhere in the Southeast, definitely worth a couple
this
hours drive.
The 20 or the first maybe. Or no, I'm sorry. Don't listen to me for anything.
Yeah.
This might air on
Red Clay Comedy Festival, September 29th through October 1st, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So if you're anywhere nearby, definitely worth the drive to Atlanta. Come see a great comedy festival in conjunction with a badass music festival. So, that's what I'll be doing.
Just go do fun stuff in Atlanta, a city that's a good time.
Oh, it's so much good food, too. I'm going to, by the time I get back, to LA, I'm
go see, go meet Dave. Go meet
pounds.
Dave in person.
Oh man, come eat some food with me.
Go watch Dave turn his nose up at local biscuits.
Turn my nose up at some local biscuits, and then just put my face in some others. I'll be at. If you need a good biscuit in Atlanta, go to Homegrown.
Ooh,
and if
Homegrown.
You need, and if you need the best barbecue that you've ever had, smoked chicken wings, ribs, pulled pork, ooh, our buddies at the Albert.
The Albert?
I give a shout out to the Albert. Craig Holzer, Paul Galois, just kicking ass at the Galbert, at the Albert. And did I tell you this real quick, just inside baseball, if anybody knows these guys, Craig and Paul have just started their own barbecue catering company, King's Barbecue. Did I tell you about that?
I don't know.
They bought a badass smoker, and really? They're still running the kitchen at the Albert, but they're trying to kind of segue into their own thing. King's Barbecue. They got their it's off the ground now. It's up and running. Their own barbecue catering company. And
I can second both those places.
Yeah.
The Albert and Homegrown.
Yep.
I've been there. I think every time I go to Atlanta, I go to both those places. And the Albert's always the on a show day.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's we just bringing food out. I'm like,
yes.
Stop it.
Last time we were there together,
do this. Yeah,
like, you were headlining. What was that venue? The big venue in Atlanta, big rock club. You sold it out. Anyway,
I can't remember the name of it.
Lisa Best and I were opening for you that day, so we all went to the Albert, and it was just like they just kept bringing stuff out.
Yeah, well, just stop doing this.
Just
stop.
Keep it coming.
Stop it. I have to do stuff later. Ooh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing. Social media. You know all that. Look it up. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gmail.
It's out there if you want to look for it.
Throw some suggestions at us. You know, something you want us to yammer on about. And again, if you want the specifics on the biscuit recipe, email me, but don't tell anybody that I'll give it to you. So.
A good thing you whispered into the microphone. All right.
Boogie Monster Podcast, Kyle Kinane, Dave Stone. Holla at you, boys.
The Boogie Monster.